This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. We thank you all and greet you with the greetings of the Muslims and the greetings of God's servants that came before our Prophet Muhammad of Arabia, peace be on him, God's last prophet that he sent to this world, seal of the Prophet Muhammad. The greetings of Assalamu Alaikum. Peace be upon you. It's a beautiful sunshine out there. The sunshine take your mind off the cold weather. It's so bright and beautiful. And really, if I had any problem just looking at your faces, and I know so many of you by face, shining there before me, that'd be enough to make my day. Yeah? We thank Allah for each other. Yes? There's nothing better than the good family, life, and unity. And that's for private life at home or wherever we are. And even more importantly, it's for the family of believers. Believers are a family. We are a community. And we call each other brothers and sisters. We're saying we are family. We are family. Brothers and sisters in one family. We thank Allah. We thank Him. We thank Him for yesterday, the beautiful day. And I was in Chicago Friday, and I got several calls. And they said, "Brother Imam, if you were here, you'd be very pleased." So they've done a beautiful job here, saying everybody seemed to be in the same spirit. Say, "Brother Imam, the spirit is very high." So I was all hyped up and ready to go. Last night was beautiful, too. Yeah, very beautiful. I enjoyed every minute of it. Very beautiful. It's a treat to me. That's what I'm trying to say to you. My visit here has treated me. It has been a great treat to me. And we're going to, I don't know. Sometimes you have one thing in mind that you want to address and talk and speak to, or speak of, share with the audience. But as you be in the same environment or same place with them and meeting them and greeting them and seeing their spirit, sometimes you have to kind of change your plan for your address, you know. So I'm changing slightly, but it's always the same interest. The interest is always the same. And that is, as the scripture says, to have life and to have it better and to have it abundantly. Abundantly. And Allah revealed to us through Muhammad, the Prophet, of course. And He said that I have created you that you may grow, that you may grow. And that doesn't mean grow physically. Everything grows like that. In fact, it just, as long as you got life, you're going to be growing physically. But He means grow in the life that He created us for. Have created us that we may grow. Grow in the life that He has created us for. And that life is, number one, is spiritual life. Spiritual life. When you feel bad, and it's not a bunion or arthritis, it's something bothering you inside, deep inside. That's spiritual life. And Allah created us to have a good feeling inside not that pressure, not that bad feeling, not that emptiness, not that fear. No. Allah created us to be in paradise. And I'm in paradise. I'm truthful, no exaggeration. I'm in paradise. The world, physical world, all about us. Whether you live in a good land or a bad land, or in a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood, the physical things all around us. Once Allah says, I'm going to give this servant of mine, or this worshiper of mine, paradise. Once he says that, nothing negative, nothing hurtful, nothing sad, nothing ugly, nothing distasteful can penetrate your garden of paradise. And the scripture says that when the faithful ones pass in, so they'll pass by those suffering and howling and making noise, burning in the flames of hell. They'll pass by them, but they'll be at a distance, and they will not be touched or affected by hell, though they can look at it from where they are. Well, that used to be just reading for me. And I accepted it because it's revelation. But now I have experienced it. Now the flames can be even closer to you than that. Oh, I love you people. You know, it ain't everywhere you can get an audience like this that have a taste for this heavenly food that I love. Allahu Akbar, we praise God. Yes, yes. Yeah, the ancients who were trying to be upright in their human nature, but was living in an animal world, a human world that was animal in terms of its behavior. But there was a few thinkers among them. And the thinkers in the time of an ancient pagan world, they put in myth a food they call heavenly food. And they called it ambrosia. Well, I don't know if this is the same ambrosia, but I know it is ambrosia. It's heavenly food. Praise be to Allah. Yes. Allah says He created us that we may grow. Grow in spiritual life. And spiritual life is the life of our soul. It's the life of our soul. The soul is the big life. It takes in everything. The brain, it feeds on certain things that it encounters, experiences, whatever it comes in contact with. If it awakens interest in the intelligence or in the brain will engage it. But the soul can't help it. It registers everything. Everything. A little baby crying too long in the meeting here, the soul will be disturbed. Say, why don't somebody go help the mother with that child? And we'll feel about that child just like it's our own child. That's the soul. Yeah. The soul hears something in an ear. The soul hears something and it sounds good to the brain. But the soul says something wrong with that. But if something can be so very attractive to the brain, it can be so attractive to the brain, it occupies the brain so completely that the brain can't hear what the soul has to say. And that was the situation for our father in the Garden of Paradise. The deceiver talked to him and got his brain to be completely attentive to what the deceiver was saying. He got so involved, so engrossed in what the deceiver was saying to him about things that he didn't have a complete knowledge of, hardly any knowledge of, that he couldn't hear with the ear of his soul. So he was deceived into believing a rationale that was given to him by Satan, the shaitan, the devil himself. Yes. But the soul never bought it. No, the soul never heard it, never bought it. And the soul couldn't speak loud enough for the man, our father, to hear over the loud interest of the loud voice of Satan. Couldn't hear. Satan was telling him how to come into another life, a higher life. And God invites us always to come into a higher life. And Allah says, God says in the Quran, never did he plan anything for his servants, his worshipers, that Satan didn't scheme to produce the like of it, to take us away from God. Always to take us away from God. And many people, they're looking for Satan in the city, where the pimps, the prostitutes, the gamblers, the lost souls are. Satan, that ain't no interest. Satan has no interest in that. He had them thousands of years ago. And they operating on his plan without him even having any bother. He doesn't have to be bothered. He ain't got to do nothing with it. He is not interested at all in what's happening in the life of pimps and prostitutes and gamblers and drug dealers. He's not interested in that at all. Hell, that's taken care of. But let me see what we can do about the imam's life. Let's see what we can do about the rabbi's life. Let's see what we can do about the Vatican. Let us give our attention to these boys that ain't playing our game. And let us work our way into their thinking so subtly that they'll be on our team too while they're thinking they're preaching the word of God. This is scripture. I'm coming from scripture. This is what scripture warns us of. Now, what is the life? We are invited to come to the life that God created us for. What is the life? It is the complete life. Satan has tricked the world of religion into running away from the whole responsibility that God gave to man and leaving this world that God put us in to the wrongdoers. And Allah says, who has said to my worshiper, this material world and the benefits of the material world are not for them? This is the Quran. Who have said to my worshippers, that this material world and its benefits are not for them? He said, it is for them, and exclusively for them in the hereafter. Did you hear that? It is for them, and exclusively for them in the hereafter. Now let us address for a few minutes, just the second part of God's statement. Exclusively for them in the hereafter. That thing is saying, that statement in the second part is saying two important things to us. Firstly, it's saying to us, don't worry yourself to death. Stop grieving over the miseries that you see in the world. It's only temporary. And I'm allowing it. It's not exclusively for you yet. It's to be shared with the wrongdoers. I've given the wrongdoers the freedom to get whatever they can get out of this material world. But they're shut out of the spiritual blessings that they can't have, neither here nor hereafter. They will never experience the heaven that Allah put Adam in before he fell. They'll never experience the heaven that Allah put Abraham in. They'll never experience the heaven that Allah put Jesus Christ in. They'll never experience the heaven that Allah put Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in. They'll never experience the heaven that God put the pious saints in from different religions. They'll never experience the heaven that Allah has put the son of Elijah Muhammad in. Allahu Akbar. No, they're not. Thank you. No, they're not. But Allah says he hasn't barred anybody. He hasn't shut anybody out of getting beans and cornbread. Having cattle and land and bank accounts. He hasn't shut anybody out of that. Because he is a wonderful God. He's even good to his enemies. Yes. And he's given us a sign in David. David had enemies. But he also had love even for his enemies. David. And likewise, Jesus Christ and many of the pious saints. And likewise, Muhammad the prophet. Yes. Even cares about his enemies. Because they have human souls too. Yes. And who knows? Only God knows. Who can be saved and who can't. So we are just to try our best to be like our Lord in his attributes of patience, justice, and most of all, mercy. Mercy. Praise be to Allah. Yes, there's nothing that God has not extended mercy to. No, nothing. Even to Satan, if you understand it. Because when Satan refused to accept God's plan for human beings, did God say, I'm going to whip you real bad for that? He said, since you're determined to do your thing, go on, you're free. That's mercy, isn't it? And I'm not going to bring my power down upon you now. But at the end of your thing has an end. And when you reach the end of it, you're going to be in the fix that you plotted to have my human beings in. And I have created a fire that you don't know about. It consumes both men and stones. And you're calling the devil a stone. A stone. Can't feel. Can't feel. But did God give up on stones? No. He said there are some stones that under pressure, they will break, crack. And water will gush forth from them. God knows what he created. What he's saying? He's saying no matter how hard-hearted you become, no matter how hard you become as a life, I put water in you, and that water will still be there. And the hell you're going to make for yourself will one day crack your stone. And water will gush forth from it. And even tears will fall from Satan's eyes. Now, don't forget what Allah says in the Quran. The fire is real. This is no myth. I'm not talking about something that doesn't exist or something that's spooky and you can't understand it with your rational mind. No. The fire of hell is something we can understand with our rational mind. And devil's existence is something we can understand with our rational mind. Yes. And if I had permission, I could put my finger right on the devil right now. You know him. You know him. I can't put my finger on every one of them, but I sure can put my finger on the biggest and most concentrated company of them. And you always see it plainly. But we are forbidden. Once God shows us this, we are forbidden to tell the world. Allah didn't take him out of his hiding place. And he didn't permit the servants, the prophets, to take the devil out of his hiding place. Now, the Bible claims that he permitted the successors to Jesus Christ, Peter, permitted him to have the power to bind Satan for 1,000 years, to lock him up for 1,000 years, and then let him go after 1,000 years. Now, why would any righteous servant of God want to let him go if we ever locked him up? So don't believe that story, even though it's in the Holy Bible. No, since the day he was permitted to be free, he's been free ever since, and nobody has the key or way to lock him up. He comes out when he wants. And those who think they have the power to put him in jail and let him out, they're deceived. They're self-deceived. No, they don't have the power to do anything. Yes. All we have the power to do is to respect our good nature. Respect the good life that God created us with. And as long as we respect that good life that God created us with, we have a sure defense against Satan. Something that seems small with no power has the power to defeat Satan. And that's your goodness inside you. Just stay with your goodness. Satan can't touch you. And if you practice staying with that goodness long enough and faithful enough, you're not letting sex tempt you away from it. You're not letting greed for money tempt you away from it. You're not letting fear of wrongdoers or bullies take it away from you. If you stick with that long enough, you will win guaranteed protection from Satan. And he won't be able to come and at you from any way. You will be in paradise, and he can never come into paradise. He hates paradise. Just like he hates the righteous servants. He hates paradise. And the wise in the language of myth and culture, they have told us that Satan hates this life. You sprinkle some water, some pure water on Dracula, what happens to it? If you bring him out in the light, what happens to it? He's okay as long as he's in the dark, hidden in the shadows. Bring him out in the light, what happens to it? Sprinkle some of that pure holy water on it, what happens to it? That water means your innocent soul, your spiritual life. If he ever be touched by that, it's all over for him. So he makes sure he's not touched. He stays away from the righteous, and he stays out of the bright light of truth. He knows that it'll do away with him. So as long as you keep to your innocence, keep to your innocence. Don't worry about the devil. Over a period of generations, over a period of thousands of years, really, the people exaggerated the image and power of the devil. They exaggerated. They made him bigger than he really was. Got him contending with God as though they're on some equal plane. So in Islam,
The Quran comes to correct that. And it doesn't even say God have any contenders. God didn't have any contenders. Not even the devil. He's no contender for God. So God let us know, this Satan, this devil that you know in your life, he's not my contender. He's your contender. I do a nasty. He's the opponent or the enemy of human beings, not God. God forbid that we even think something can challenge him. Then he works on the problem of our thinking that he's so big, that devil is so big. He says, fight the schemes of Satan, Shaitan. For surely his schemes are weak. Not like the old teaching before the Quran came, that he's magnifying him and saying, be careful of him. Don't engage him. He's too powerful. But the Bible too came to deal with that. It says, rebuke Satan. Rebuke him. Don't just listen to him and you know he's talking wrong. Rebuke him means tell him he's wrong. And he will run from you. That's what the Bible says. Rebuke Satan and he will flee from you. Now that one statement there, it kills all that other stuff about him being so powerful. Rebuke him and he will flee from you. I was convicted for failing to obey the selective service order. And I was spending time in the Sandstone, Minnesota Federal Correctional Institution. And the whole Jehovah's Witnesses was in there too. They were in there for doing the same thing, failing to obey selective service order. And this big, tall, copper-skinned African-American, I started to call him a sanctifier. He was a sanctifier in the religion of Jehovah's Witnesses. I'll tell you, because he would talk every now and then, he'd say, woo, woo. That baby is still I started to say sanctified. I forgot, you know, I'm remembering how he responded, but he was a Jehovah's Witness. Anyway, he knew who I was. I was a Muslim that he thought was just so far away from God that I was safe. So we have a conversation, and really, I have always been, in terms of my respect for a person, I've always been the same as I am now. I don't believe in forcing something on you you don't want. So I was being very nice and respectful. I wasn't trying to convert him. I knew he didn't want it. But responding to him, I had to make a little trouble for him. Just responding to what he was saying to me. I had to make a little trouble for him. I was being as gentle as I possibly could. He got so upset. Get behind me, Satan. That's what he said to me. Get behind me, Satan. And he started going, leaving in jail. He had enough room to go away from me, about 100 feet, I guess. But he was both of his jail. Locked up in the federal district. So he started, get behind me, Satan. I said, hold up, brother. I said, the Bible says, rebuke Satan and he will run from you. I said, I ain't running. What you running for?
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.